You know what? The party.
You know.
Avery just strolls right in, puts his hat in the rack. How do you get home?
You know, Mike, you're only 5'7 yourself. So I wouldn't be talking
I'm
about
5'9.
That much.
Thank you very much.
You sure?
Yes.
You're positive?
I've been measured many times.
Well,
I like to keep my measurements up to date.
Well, we'll keep that PG. But anyways, well, let's talk.
Pretty good.
Yeah, the M2O is right
keep
now.
The show pretty good.
The M2O's right now are
bad. They're always bad. They've always had been
bad.
We both did songs today.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, hey, Michael Jackson's bat fits almost perfectly. Because he fit 29th in the NHL. 29th place, Mike.
You know what? It's okay, so I met Avery and I started my online friend of Avery thing, I guess. when I was 15 and I had my own show.
Yes.
Called In the Crease on a Blogspot. So if you want to... You know, if you want some old takes. A cool thing to do in the internet age is, like, when you're at your absolute dumbest, is to, like, chronicle your thoughts for everyone on the internet forever. So people can dig up and be like, oh, you said this thing. It's like, yeah, I was 15. But also, you know what? Probably still good takes. But anyways.
Yes.
We did that show back when we were hoping for the first lottery. So it was the Fall for Hall.
Yes,
we
it was.
It. Then we said, because we were 15, we were not that funny. We were just like the Larson for Larson.
I remember
and
that.
We did end up getting Adam Larson, you know, for you know.
Eventually you got Adam Larson.
Something happened, but we got him. Another such first overall pigtail. So it's really, you know, full time as a flat circle coming back on a radio show on the internet.
Yes.
And being like, let's go lottery, baby. Let's win the lottery.
You know, it's you know, when this season began, some people said that this team would be near the top of the division. I said from day one, that's a crock of crap.
It's a crock of crap. They're a wild card team at best.
Yes.
And they're still like,
this,
they're not this year.
This team is lucky. This team is lucky the West is so bad that they could get back into the wild card chase. They could.
They cannot. No, they're 7 points out. They've lost 9 of their last 10 games. Unless they won 15 games in a row like the Bakersfield Condors, they're not making the playoffs. So let's just lose. My one problem with losing is just like, what does it do to Connor? And I'm one of those people that, you know, I see takes and people are like, well, Connor's going to ask for a trade. This is inept. But you know how many hockey players demand a trade because the team's inept? So few. Like,
yeah.
It never happens. And Connor McDavid is the quintessential, I don't want to rock the boat, I'm just happy to play here, hockey boy. So
exactly.
I don't really see him ever demanding a trade out of Edmonton. But, you know, you think about his feelings, and he is a, word of the day, competitor, and he wants to win games.
Like
and
anybody would.
So the Oilers don't. So it is kind of frustrating, I bet, for him, and even for me watching him, be like, oh, I don't want Connor to lose. But, like, it's really easy if for me, if Tobias Reeder loses.
You know.
Or, like... Well, I made a bet with a friend that I couldn't say a certain player's name ever. But number 12 for the Oilers, I'm not going to say his name. Bad radio, television, live stream, but that guy. Like, I don't care if those guys are on for a losing season. Like, it doesn't mean anything to me. I'm just sad that Connor Nugent and I have to put up with another one. Nugent especially, because he's been here forever.
Exactly,
so
yes.
Only, you know, sweet success. Even once, and then even, do you call winning a single playoff series success? You do if you're the Leafs.
Whoa!
But
the
yeah,
shade.
So it's sad. So it's like you might as well lose as much as you can, get another good player, let the next stupid GM mess up in a different way. Like today, they're like, the Puljujärvi might get traded because his agent's disillusioned. He doesn't want to go back to the NHL. They're not doing anything in the NHL. They completely screwed up his development.
Of course
so why not draft another player who we can screw up their development?
Like, it's just, and I've said
some
it again.
It's not, like, a damn European, because that's where it goes wrong, you know? They draft, actually, Draisaitl worked out, so I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, the guys who work out, Yakupov, Russian, you know, Puljujärvi, Finnish, doesn't speak the language, he should learn. There was that tweet yesterday, and we don't, you know, some people don't like to highlight other people's bad takes, because it just brings them attention. They want attention. But I like giving them attention and calling them morons. But there was a guy who was just like, that's on him to learn English. He knew it was the NHL. Like, the Oilers just hung this man out to dry in every way. And this guy's like, well, serves him right. I'm like, oh, is like take charge of your own development and be like, that's not how it works. No.
Like, this guy, what do you say with UT? You know, there was kids who died at war.
Oh, yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah, when people go his age level? Were in the war, he's in the NHL and he just can't speak English.
Like,
just moronic.
But it's a good point. It's a good point, though. Like, the fact that the Oilers were pretty much late in helping this country kid from Finland learn the language. And I'd be like, okay, kid, here you are. Here is Edmonton, Alberta. Have fun.
Yeah. Like, well, that's why they're paying Mikko Koskinen $4.5 million a year for the next 3 years, because he also speaks Finnish. And I guess there they brought in, you know, the guy, Finn, name, can't remember, UC...
Oh, UC Jokinen.
UC Jokinen.
And they dealt him.
And they dealt him immediately, because he wasn't good. We thought he was like, oh, that's the Finnish guy that's going to Metropoli Army.
Because it wasn't 2006 anymore.
Was not.
That's the reason why. They thought with the time warp, you know, Daryl Keith and Nicholson watched a film of him in Dallas 10 years ago and figured he can still do that.
Yeah, and Ken Hitchcock was all like, I'm going to be in charge of Jesse's development, and then completely threw that away immediately as they started losing and still can't win. We might see a third head coach for the Edmonton Oilers this year because
Hitchcock
really can't do it. he might quit, or it's just gone that much of a gong show.
Like, the fact that...
The Oilers are entertaining, though. It's like, you gotta say, they keep giving us stuff to talk about. Us.
It's true.
Media types.
But you mentioned the fact that only really bad expansion teams go through three coaches in 1 year. Or, like, the fact
or
that...
Or the NHL, make the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. It's just... And it never ends with the Oilers. There's never a week of peace without some drama coming out of this
we
franchise.
We have always been at war with East Asia.
Oh, well, like, very Orwellian are you, Mike? Very George Orwell.
That was a big one in Oilers Twitter circa 2011, 2012.
Like, no, I'll admit, that is the one...
The beatings will continue until morale improves.
I'll admit, that is the one thing, if you're on social media, of all the team fan bases, Oilers Twitter is by far the most entertaining.
To some, I'm a person who likes to, gather political take, dumb political takes, and show them off to people and be like, ah, look at this idiot, even though that has far more consequences, like, to everyone's everyday lives. But I have a friend who likes to listen to Overtime Open Line. I cannot stand it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear these people's dumb takes. But he does. It fuels him in the same way that dumb political takes. But his is probably better because really – having a bad idea about how McDavid is making too much money for a team to succeed doesn't impact anyone's, like, real-life situation.
No, it does not.
So maybe I should switch over to that. But.
And, you know, and earlier today, there was an autograph session with the Oilers, and there was actually nowhere to rely on, Mike. Facebook comments complained that Connor was not smiling during the entire autograph session.
Edmonton Oilers fans deserve the Edmonton Oilers. That's the thing. Like, they're bad. Every decision they make is dumb. Probably the stupidest possible decision. Here's what usually happens when the Oilers make a transaction. Mm-hmm. Is some guy like Ryan Rashawk will come on and he'll be like, oh, I hear the Oilers are thinking about this. And everyone's like, damn, that would be the stupidest possible decision that they could make. I don't think I could think of a dumber one. And then they come out and they're like, well, we did it. And you know what? You can't judge it yet. They made the trade. They had to do it for some reason. I don't know why they always have to make these bad trades, but they had to do it. And then it comes out that the players are bad. And then they're like, well, no one saw this coming. Like, we all did. You're a moron.
It's a market where, you know, I will not...
There was an article today, and I will say it because I have no... that the headline was... what is the headline? What was it? There was in the Edmonton Journal, there was just like, this is surprising, like, I'm baffled by it. They're like, no, we all saw this coming. I'm going to find the headline while you talk.
Now, that's the one thing is that I've said before with dinner, it's a market where you've never seen, I don't care if it's Toronto, Calgary, whatever, the eternal feud of MSM versus the bloggers, it's never ending. It's funny because it continues on. Day in and day out.
Is the article gone? Did they delete it?
Oh, no. I might try to find this article.
I can't find it.
Oh, I think it might have been deleted.
Oh, if it got so much blowback that it was instantly deleted, that would be great.
Any Babbitt comments? Any Babs? You had me at Orlo's Twitter.
Oh, no, here open we go. Mouth emoji. Here's the headline. It is, hard to believe the Oilers are in this mess. Not if you've been paying attention at all or even think critically about literally any move they've made up to this point. Like, it's just like they come out and they were like, yeah, this is a bad trade. Like, for example, there was a day when the Oilers traded Drake Kajula for Brandon Manning and a third-round pick for Alex Petrovic.
That's correct.
And everyone was like, these are terrible trades. You shouldn't do that. These players are terrible. Bad. And then instantly, the players are scratched. People are like, oh, then these are bad trades. You have to trade Talbot out just to get back under the salary cap because you're over the salary cap for some reason because you did three dumb things. If you did even two of these dumb things, because I'm acting it on the screen again, you would have been fine. So here are the things. Traded for Alex Petrovic. Don't do that. Just do nothing. You're fine. Traded for Brandon Manning. Don't do that. Nothing happens. Still under the salary cap. Buying out Eric Riba on a one-year, completely variable deal that has no impact on the salary cap whatsoever if you do not want him to play for your team. No, we bought him out. So now there's $300,000 worth of dead space sitting on the cap for this year and next year. That made it so we were not a salary cap compliant team. The Edmonton Oilers were not a salary cap compliant team. Three dumb things. Even just don't do one of the dumb things. But like I said, it's every time. It's like, what is the most possible, dumbest possible move they can make? They're like, well, it's going to be that one. And I have 200 hockey men who would agree. All right, Andy Babick writes, do you think the Oilers and Senators take turns for NHL drama? If so, how do they schedule it?
It's a great question.
I think they do. it's probably the Senators' turn now because they have Stone and Duchesne.
Yeah.
Not only probably on their way out, but this is something also. They're playing in games right now, even though everyone is very convinced they're going to be traded.
And right.
So I just can't wait. I can't wait for the drama.
Well, that's
when Matt Duchesne gets hurt and like dislocates his shoulder or something playing in a meaningless stretch game for the Senators and they get nothing for him and he walks in free agency. Why are they playing these guys? You're in last place. You're going to finish in last place. I know you're going to be like, well, it's embarrassing we finished 31st because we traded our first round pick to Colorado. And I was like, well, yeah, because you should have given up last year's pick because you knew this was going to be – you knew everyone was leaving and this was going to be the first overall pick. And I'd much rather have Jack Hughes than Brady Tkachuk. So that's stupid. So these guys are just going to leave. Or right now, because you're playing them for some reason, they're going to get hurt and then leave, and you're going to get nothing. Like, as bad as the Oilers' situation is, the Senators do like to give them a run for their money. And the Oilers have this fancy new arena they scammed out of the citizens. The Senators do not have that luxury yet.
No, not yet. And their downtown arena plan fell apart. And Eugene Melnyk's partner is suing him, counter-suing him over this deal.
For $1 billion. Literally $1 billion.
If you're the NHL, how do you not tell Eugene Melnyk, okay, hand over that team. Give it back to us. Give it back.
Yeah, it's getting pretty bad. And people have made jokes about that for the Oilers, and I don't really see that happening. Although, if we turned around, you can see Daryl Cates' couch and casting couch behind us.
Jeez, Mike. You know what? You mentioned Daryl Cates. You know what? I understand people don't want an owner meddling. People don't want a meddling owner. But to an extent, an owner should be somewhere around. An owner should be preventing some of this nonsense. Like, an owner should be saying, Peter, you can't trade Eberle for Strome or whatever. You can't do this and the third. It's your company. And right. He's devaluing your product.
And I think, well, from a business chain point of view is, you know, we like to get on the microphone and say how smart we are, and we got our Twitter fingers and everything. But if you're in an actual business and you're hiring Peter Shirelli as your general manager, and you think this is the most qualified man for the job, you have to, in a business structure, trust him to be autonomous and to make the right deals. So if you're Daryl Cates, like, you don't want a meddling owner. Even if, like, if he's bad and it kind of vetoes deals, you're still in a business structure as a fan of a team, don't want the owner coming down and be like, nah. Because then you get Eugene Melnyk saying that you can't trade Cody Ceci for Taylor Hall. Like that.
That happened. Was an actual deal. That
was
happen.
A real deal. And they're like, thing. Nah, we can't give up on Ceci. So they traded him for Larson. Could you imagine? Cody Ceci, like, at least Adam Larson's an NHL defender, a top-flight NHL defender. Cody Ceci is not.
No. So, they would have burned down the offices. They would have burned their orders place.
Right. So you can't like expect an order to come in and veto specific moves, but you can expect them to have a structure where it's like maybe you interview more than one person for a job.
Absolutely.
And you know, when you say you're gonna do a forensic audit, maybe you do.
No, of course. And if Danny Chamberlain asks, what time is Gangrel coming off? Gangrel, those of you don't know was the wrestler. Gangrel, those of you who don't know was a wrestler in 1990s with a Dracula gimmick.
People, sound off in the chat if you want me to choke slam Avery.
You couldn't even
sound off in the chat. I will lift Avery above my head like the Stanley Cup and then throw him down on my knee like Bane.
You couldn't
bring me Batman's back. Sound off in the chat if you want to see that happen.
You could bust a grip in a food fight. The Jay-Z lyric right there. Also too.
It's funny because neither of us are big guys, but you can't see that because there's no one around us for scale. We could be NBA size players for all you know.
We absolutely could. Speaking of the NBA, every All-Star weekend just went down. And, you know, what do you think? Did you watch even, Mike?
I did.
No? Why? I got to watch some parts of the dunk contest.
Okay.
But to me, dunk contest has been, ever since 2016, when LaVine and Gordon tore the house down, it has not been out of level at all.
I think it's hard to come up with new stuff. They've been doing it for so many years. Like, what are you going to do? It's like, I'm going to jump over a plane. It's like, we already saw a guy jump over a car. And you broke the plane. You brought up five dudes to wear this get-up. And then you put on the goggles. And you're like, no, actually, I can't do the goggles.
So it's like,
yeah, it's not really impressive.
And this year, how about you, Diallo, jumped over Shaq?
That was pretty cool. I did enjoy that.
But it is a good point. Like, what do you do next? Like, what more can you do in dunk contest beyond, I don't know what you do next, jump over Hurricane Katrina's rim?
There was one guy, I want to say it was Dwight Howard, but I don't know, who wanted to dunk on a 12-foot rim. And they were like, no.
He didn't need to do it.
He did do it? I thought they wouldn't let him do it.
It's on YouTube.
Oh.
On 12-foot rim, yeah.
There was one point where they're just like, no, it's not safe. We're not letting you do that. But it's like, all this stuff is insane. They jumped over J. Cole. Yeah. No one cares about J. Cole's health.
Whoa! What'd J. Cole do to you?
No, I'm saying, like, I don't want it. I'm not saying I don't care. I'm saying they don't care. Because they're like, what if he trips and just bashes his knee into J. Cole's face? Then what then, you know?
Well,
I feel like there's not enough safety waivers around the NBA slam dunk competition.
Well, breaking news, Mike wants to see J. Cole in hospital.
I don't. I don't have any strong J. Cole tapes.
Neither do I. To me, he's always
double
been,
platinum, no features.
He's been. You know
he's
what?
Okay.
He missed. He tried to dunk, though. He missed a dunk. He missed a dunk in the contest.
Did he?
Yeah, he tried. In between dunks, he went up on the court and dunked and missed a dunk.
Well, we can't dunk, so. Okay, here we got.
Well,
there's a shout out for.
Ric Flair. That's Ric Flair's 30th birthday. Ric Flair turned 70.
Woo! That's a Ric Flair.
You know,
I'm not a wrestling guy.
You know what's funny though? Ric Flair has done every drug and drink on the planet, and he's reached 70 years old. Congrats to you, Rick.
Avery, it's what keeps you alive.
Well, but it's just because wrestlers die. It's known before 50 years old. Like it's.
You mean like getting my head repeatedly slammed into a mat is bad for my health?
Well, you know that's. Well, that was what my doctor told me. You know, that's what the experts say. You know, that's not really good for your health.
But sound off in the chat, and I'll do it to you.
Well, there's no steel chairs here, Mike, so good luck with that.
I got this bar, like this gate, this little velvet rope.
With this?
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh, strong.
It's about the riffraffs.
Strong. Avery, sorry. We're back in the chat.
We have,
thoughts on Liam Neeson. Avery, what are your thoughts on Liam Neeson?
Idiot. You know, there's some things
this
in life.
This isn't the place where I'm going to sound.
You know, there's some things in life you should keep to yourself. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, I'm going to give a short take. My short take is just like, you know who was, you know who else was racist in the 80s? Everybody. So if you're like, damn, I was a little racist in the 80s, but I've learned that that's a horrible thing to do. I think that's fine to admit. I think you'd be like, well, back when I was real way younger, I was a much stupider person.
But he was promoting a movie. Like, what was the point of him saying
they
that?
They literally asked him. The question was, Where do you get the, like, how do you, you know, feel revenge? Like, how do you get psyched up for that kind of movie?
Yeah.
He was like, well, I did have a lot of feelings of revenge when I went around carrying, like, a bat with a nail in it, hoping I got attacked by a black guy so I could murder him. This is great. This is a great show topic.
That's like, well, when people ask about Liam Neeson in the chat room, and also Brazbaugh and Tessa's in the chat room as well watching.
Hello, Tessa.
From dinner table, I'm sure.
I just want you to know that I have a better beard.
Wow, that's savage. Throwing shade towards Brad's mother.
Hour. Not throwing shade towards her, just her son's beard.
Her son's beard. Wow, they can see Brad come like a full-on, full-grown beard.
He's the one who's going to come here with a steel chair. On me.
Oh my gosh, and I wanted to mention...
do you got a topic or I got another topic?
I was going to talk about... I do want to get off my chest. This stupid
shirt.
Hate... You love it. You love my color. Why you hating in these streets?
That's pretty nice.
Yes, it is. You're the guy coming in with the worn out t-shirts.
That's some cool.
I'm
a cool looking guy.
That's here to deliver cool takes. I was gonna say, getting off my chest, the hate for the Carolina Hurricanes is so unbelievably stupid.
This is gonna be a short segment because we're just like, yeah, it's stupid. But I was listening to another podcast called Puck Soup, and Sean McIndoe from The Athletic.
Yes.
Credit for all the takes here. I ain't stealing takes. Was basically just like, who really doesn't like the storm surge? It's Don Cherry. It's Brian Burke. Justin Bourne tweeted, I'm not a fan. That's it. It's not like it's this big, like, controversy. It's like, most people like the storm surge, and then it's a couple guys who are like, meh, meh, I don't like it, meh, meh, meh. That's how Brian Burke talks.
Pretty much.
And they don't like it. And then you go, I don't care. But I saw another good tweet, and I don't know who tweeted this, so sorry. Between the four people watching this, if you tweeted this, I'm sorry for forgetting you. But it was Bunch of Jerks is Nasty Woman for Hockey Nerds, which I think is pretty funny. Favorite Alliance football player of all time. Christian Hackenberg, because he's the only one I know, because I looked this up before the show.
There you go. You know what?
More questions.
We'll get into AAF in a second. If you listen to the Brian Avery Hour a few weeks ago, we had on the president of Orlando's franchise a few weeks ago. Talk about that too. Yeah. Orlando is now 2-0. Orlando is now 2-0 in the AAF. That's our team, the Orlando Apollos.
Apollos?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
oh, because they're like, there's space.
Exactly. Yes, there you go. Yeah, I see it. You're matching things together. I'm going to say that with the
university degree educated.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
I know where places are and what they're famous for.
There you go. I'm going to mention them. You are right, though. It is Brian Burke, Cherry, and Justin Bourne. We're not fans of it, but.
I wouldn't even lump in Bourne because he was just Bourne's kind of like, he made two tweets about it. Like, it's not like he's doing filling segments calling people jerks.
No, Don Cherry went, no, good Canadian boy.
The piano desk.
And here's the thing. You know what? And it was a great point by Barry Wyszynski saying how, if you're going to bash it, know what you're talking about. Because he basically said, you wouldn't be Justin Williams taking part in that. Cut to Justin Williams taking part in a storm surge.
Welcome to the Brad and Avery Hour, where we tell you other people's takes that we saw that are the right takes. Sometimes you go on a show and they're like, well, what's going on here? You're just like, well, the consensus opinion is what we're going to go with. It's cool. No one hates it. They're going to make a bunch of money selling these dumb shirts.
Which is incredible. That's good marketing.
That is good marketing. Because people want the shirts.
Yeah. Like, you know what they got to do next game? They got to have the Hurricane after the next win. All coming out wearing Don Cherry like blazers.
I want them to do it on the road.
They say they won't do it on the road.
For them.
They say they won't do it on the road.
Do it in the playoffs.
You know what I want?
Let's do it. Everyone needs a storm suit.
You know what I want? With the Stanley Cup, they're playing... I want... Hurricane won the Stanley Cup, and they're playing tag with the Stanley Cup. They're playing tag on the ice with the Stanley Cup. Tag, here's the cup.
They drop it. It explodes. Might be the first time.
The Stanley Cup, here's the thing. How do these athletes destroy trophies? Like, that to me is insane.
I want a Northern Provincial Senior Team Lacrosse Trophy this summer, Avery. And I had a good time with it.
You didn't break it.
I didn't break it. But I see, like, you know, you're drinking out of it. Oops, I dropped it. it explodes. Or was it the Lions were holding it and it just came apart at the Grey Cup?
Yeah, and Jason Witten brought the Pro Bowl trophy this year as well. Jason Witten did that.
Not the Pro Bowl trophy! No!
I know it is. You know, all the era, all the decades of winning the Pro Bowl as a member of the AFC and the NFC, you know, there's prestige in the Pro Bowl, Mike. There's prestige winning the last football game.
Liking the Pro Bowl is liking the troops.
You know, oh my God. We'll get into the, well, you know what, let's go to football right now. Let's go to the AAF. And have you watched Have you watched much of the Alliance?
Welcome to the Millennial Football Report. I'm Mike Wilson.
You know, I watched week one, and here's what I like about the fact is that they have an official in the booth who's explaining the decision, yes. Which NFL does not do in real time.
I thought they do. I've watched, like, Sunday night football games. They're like, let's go to the, oh, like, the actual official of the game.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're going in and doing that. Okay. They're actually, no, they're actually,
I haven't watched any of it.
No, the replay judge is going on there and saying why he or she did this call.
Oh.
That to me, that's spicy. I like a lot.
I don't care about that. I'm going to say that's my day. It's just like, you always see these, like, media people like, I want the refs to answer the calls. But it's like, or interviews after the game. And it's like, at the end point, like, the game is going a jillion miles an hour. You know, they have to make these split decision takes. A lot of these calls are missed, but it's like, if you ever think, like, oh, the reffing is biased against my team, you clearly just watch no other games. The reffing is terrible in every game towards everyone eventually. So it's like, even if they came in, like, and said, like, well, this is why we're making the call, people would just be like, well, that's stupid. That's not what you should do. Like, people are always going to armchair ref rightly or wrongly. Like, they might be right, they might be wrong. But I don't think the ref explaining it is really going to come in. Like, people roasting Bradley Beal on his travel, and the ref came up and was like, this is allowed. And everyone's like, no, it isn't.
You know,
he was like, ooh, yeah, I got away with that.
I do welcome transparency instead of just pure style. I do welcome transparency. So why not have, why not be honest and say
it? Oh, yeah. It's just like, it's not something that I care about.
It's different though, and in AAF there's no kickoffs. Only kicking is coming down to punts and field goals.
That's a good idea. Kickoffs are stupid.
You know what though? That's the one thing I will miss.
Reach on Voice's article or video on it.
You know, I will miss the fact that there will be no more Devin Hester's one day, that there'll be a
different punts. There's still punts.
Yeah, there are still punts, but
punt returns are arguably more exciting.
Yeah, although I do feel that To make kickoffs more exciting, if it goes through the uprights, 1 point.
I think they should have that the rouge in the NFL. But also, they kick off through the end zone every time. So that's why you can't do it. But eliminate the kickoffs, install the rouge, let them get a point for a missed field goal.
I don't know about that. Like, I feel like the American football audience would, I feel like American football,
ooh,
would, I feel like
Americans
football,
want their participation points for missing a field goal.
Like, I just can't see NFL rewarding a missed field. I can't see it ever happening. Because Canadian football is based on rugby, where that rule comes from. Old rugby, real old rugby.
Yeah.
I can't see NFL
ever
adopting
that. Toronto or new club?
Exactly.
Battle.
Toronto Argonauts Rowing Club.
Rowing Club,
which still
yeah.
exists. It still exists in Toronto. That's still a thing.
Fun history fact.
Yes.
Avery, we have 2 minutes left.
You know what? Let's wrap things up.
Wait, I got a take.
What's your take, Mike?
We didn't talk about this at the start, but I got 2 minutes to talk about my favorite thing, labor rights and socialism. It's really stupid what's going on in MLB free agency right now, Avery. You got 100 free agency,
yep.
Free agents, including top-tier players. Teams are just being like, now we're good. We don't care about winning. People, dumb, stupid idiots, like all of us are, if you're watching this show, you're a moron, and so am I, and so is Avery, because you're going to go to a sporting event, even though the owners have genuine contempt for your entire existence, and they're just deciding we're not going to pay good players to play baseball for us. They're just going to be like, yeah, this guy will do whatever, he can play third base. We're going to have enough guys to play a full season, and that's it. Like, we're not going to pay high-level free agency. Every team that doesn't try to sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado is a coward, including the Blue Jays, the team I cheer for. But, like, any other team. Like, how can you look at the Boston Red Sox, who strolled to a World Series title, and think, you know what, we're good. we can compete with this team. And my bet is that they don't think they can compete, and the real thing is they don't care. And it really works down to, a long time ago, a lot of smart people thought, yo, we can use these new metrics and these new numbers to win more baseball games. Mm-hmm. And those people may have got promoted, and now they go, we can use these numbers to save our business money.
Yeah.
And it's not like these teams aren't going to make more money with playoff revenue. It's like, I just don't understand why you wouldn't try to get these good players on your team. Especially in a place like Toronto, where attendance is really super dependent. Like, people I'm a marketing guy. That's my background. People want to say that players don't drive attendance. Atmosphere does. But you know what sucks? Losing.
Yes.
That doesn't create a good atmosphere. I've been to four baseball games in the last 2 years. I saw two at the Rogers Center in Toronto early in the season. There were still, like, you know, some people were still pretty jazzed, including me. It was my first time there. I went to a White Sox game where there was no one there, lack of atmosphere. And I went to a game between the Washington Nationals and the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field when they were in a division race. What do you think game had the best atmosphere?
I think the Cubs won.
The Cubs won because the teams were good and the games mattered.
Exactly.
I don't like going to preseason games at all because I think it's a waste. Because no one really cares. Like, the whole thing about sports is the stakes. And when these teams never have any stakes, when these teams are out of the playoffs in May, why would people go? Like, I get the entertainment, and I'll go to see a baseball game. But it's really just, like, if you're a season ticket holder, what's drawing you to pay thousands upon thousands of dollars to watch a team who doesn't care about winning?
No,
that's the
right
thing that you care about. And the team is straight up saying to your face, yeah, we don't care. We're
going
to put out a team. We're going to try to manipulate service time so you can't see the players you do want to see. Like, it's stupid.
It is. Like, Leo Valguero Jr. They're going to hold him down. A kid who should be in the major leagues day one.
He should have been in the major leagues last year.
Yeah, he should have been.
Like, he dominated every level he's been at. Like, it's not like these guys need to marinate in the minor leagues a bit better and then come to there, like they're saying. It's literally just so they can get another year of cheap contract that they're probably not even going to exploit because they're still not going to pay players to win those years. And because of this, we're going to get a strike in 2021, and bam, you lost another year of Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s prime. Like, how smart do you think? Like, you're not thinking about it.
No, it is silly. And you mentioned, like, Bryce Harper. Rogers has the most money by far of any company
Rogers, especially, because they make more money the more people watch the Blue Jays because they own the team. Like, the Blue Jays aren't owned. It's not like some teams were like, well, we got a small owner. He doesn't have the big pocketbooks. The Blue Jays are owned by probably the biggest company in Canada, an oligopoly of Bell and Rogers.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Who are one of the most moralist corporations. We have, like, the highest telecom prices in the world in Canada.
We do.
Two of those corporations paired up to make one corporation who owns the Toronto Blue Jays. So they can make money hand over fist, but their business plan is like, well, what if we, like, they don't want to own the team at all for some reason. Like, I don't know, that team does nothing but make money for them because they own everything. They vertically integrated everything around the team, so I don't know why they wouldn't invest more in it. But they're kind of just, like, letting it sail. They don't want to own the team. There's, like, we were talking about how much do you want your owner to step in. I don't want an owner to step in, but I want an owner who cares about the team and who wants to win.
Absolutely, because, you know,
and that's a problem the Oilers have right now, is they don't care about winning.
They don't.
Because they obviously don't, if you look at the moves they make. And same for the Toronto Blue Jays, or really any MLB team right now, who probably sans the Red Sox or the Astros. Like, who else do you think, like, couldn't use Bryce Harper, couldn't use Manny Machado?
I mean, heck, put them in LA, the Dodgers. They were a team who would die trying to get a title. They've been in the World Series 2 years in a row.
Right, and then they traded,
short.
And then they let Machado go, and then they traded away Yasiel Puig.
Well, yeah.
Like, these teams don't care. They don't care.
It's wild, because at the end of the day, sports are all about, you know what? Yes, you want to make money. Yes, you want to be successful financially. End of the day, though, the teams who people care about are the winners.
Right.
People don't care about the losers.
No.
People don't.
What basketball team has had the profile go from nothing to the second highest value team in the league?
The Clippers.
No, the Golden State Warriors.
Golden State, before it was the Clippers. That was,
right,
was the Warriors.
But because they were winning.
Yes.
Right? The Knicks will always be up there.
New York City.
The Knicks clearly do not care about winning, but they don't have to.
They're owned by MSG and James Dolan.
Yeah, they're doing fine. They're worth $4 billion. But if you're every other team and you don't think winning matters, like, what are you talking about? The Golden State Warriors went from being a nothing team that no one gave a crap about to being the best team of all time and just, like, walking to finals. And guess what? People want to buy their merch and go see their games.
It's true.
Like, then they pay for it. Like, I don't get why you were like, well, I don't want to go see that team. I'm going to go cheer for, like, the Memphis Grizzlies. No, you want to watch a winner. You want to cheer for a winner.
Yeah.
And I don't get why these teams don't realize that their fans want to see a winning baseball team.
Right. Like, Mike, you worked in the a sports store. And in Canada, you see a lot of hats for certain teams, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Can you find a Memphis Grizzlies hat in Edmonton in a sports store?
Right? No.
You can't find it.
You can find lots of Golden State stuff and Lakers stuff.
Yeah. And right? Sixers stuff, Sixers Celtics, stuff. Raptors.
Right. People like good teams, especially bandwagon people who just want to buy merch to look cool. They don't want to buy a bad team's merch.
No.
That doesn't have clout.
No, exactly.
But I'm just like, I just don't understand why they don't want to win. Like, they maybe, and it goes back to, like, a thing where, like, we talked about earlier, where they think, oh, I'm the smartest guy in the room. Mm-hmm. I can win without spending the money on these guys.
Yeah.
But the end of the day is you can't. Or you can, but it's harder. And when Bryce Harper goes to the Phillies and they win the World Series this year, I'm going to come back on and be like, oh, I told you, if you want to win the World Series, why don't you sign on one of the best players in the league?
No, and you're right.
And we're going to get this again when Mike Trout's a free agent.
Yep,
and he should make even more money, and it's going to be a robbery. Like, the MLB comes out and says revenues are up year by year by all this percent, and then they have the balls to be like, yeah, we don't have the money to sign these free agent players. Meanwhile, the owners are spending all their money and trying to clear Brett Kavanaugh's name. Like,
wow. That's how you feel. But you know what? You mentioned Toronto, and before we really sign off and do trivia, Toronto, that's a market where this is the one market where it's the forgotten franchise because it's not in America.
No.
That's the team that could have used Bryce Harper.
Well, it's like you see the Jays' attendance going down year by year, and they sold out, like, they had record attendances, record revenues when they, in 2015, 2016, when they were making the playoffs. Everyone, it was the hottest ticket in town.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, okay, well, I guess we're going to retool, and that's fine. Like, I didn't really think the roster had that much to give from that point on. Retooling is fine. But when you come up and you're like, okay, well, and let's say maybe they were like, well, our window isn't open yet. Like, we want to wait till Vlad is up here. We want to wait till Bo Bichette is up here. Like, our star prospects. And it was like, Bryce Harper's still going to be good in 2 or 3 years. Like, you can still have him on the team. Like, so I don't really get what their affiliation is. You know how many, like, why don't these people care about, like, the Jays? They're a Bryce Harper or a Dallas Keuchel away from the second wild card spot.
Yeah, they are.
How big would that be? So just say you're in contention to keep fans interested.
Yeah.
Even come to games. Like, I don't know what their business model behind the scenes is, but it really thinks, like, you know, winning games and making the playoffs would be good for business. Or maybe I've completely misunderstood the sports world, and they figured it out, and they're like, nah, we can suck as much as we want, and people are going to go. Let's take a page out of the Edmonton Oilers book, who still sell out games, but the team has been garbage for 12 years.
Well, in Toronto, that is not true, because I remember I went to Jays games in 2012, 2013, and no one was there. I went to games in 2015, 2016. A world of difference because winning matters.
Winning matters.
Good teams get fans. Winning teams matter in all sports. And no else matters. Do a trivia contest. So, Mike, let's see.
All right.
Trivia contest. What should we do for trivia?
Dinner for two. Make this on top of your head.
Usually, yes.
Okay.
Dinner for two for Hallie's. Food only.
Drunk on Avery's stuff.
Exactly. Yes, thank you. See, Mike knows the drill. No liquor is included in your dinner at Hallie's.
What about, like, a soda?
Well, that counts.
That counts. So have as much soda as you
soda,
want.
Yep. You can have a soda. You can
tap
have
tap water.
Yep, that's all good.
That's fine.
That's all good. So we're going to...
I had the blackened chicken earlier.
Yes, you did.
It was really good.
I enjoyed it.
That's what my recommendation is. Hallie's Club. Starlight Casino. Brad and Avery are trivia.
So we mentioned the AAF earlier. So for dinner for two, what was the final score of the first ever game in the AAF? It just happened. Shouldn't be too hard. Exactly.
Put it in the chat. You know it off the top of your head.
I think it'll take some time. I think
people are gonna have to Google it.
Exactly.
No one knows this. We don't have any AAF heads in the chat.
You know what? Eventually we will. We'll have some AAF people in this chat, and soon the XFL, which is unfortunately Mega Ball.
This is XFL.
Oh, Vince, how's that? Why you be, now you gotta give for your chest more. What?
The XFL.
You know, gotta get.
Okay, do it.
This is The XFL!
Okay, I didn't want to do it. We're alone in this giant room. I didn't want to do that loud.
Oh.
The XFL! Oh, someone's coming. Nope.
Anyways, for Mike Wilson, I'm Avery Lewis B. Dougal.
Thanks for having
me. This is Brandon Avery Hour, episode 41 from Hallie's. Later.